The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
This is The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell, and off we go. So Alabama shockingly wins the national championship in football. This is breaking. I am so, I think it was Wetzel? I think it was Dan Wetzel wrote, you know, it's no longer the national champion. It's the Invitational. It's the Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma Invitational. And sometimes Oklahoma and Ohio State can't show up, but for the most part,
they let Notre Dame in.
So yeah, they let Notre Dame in. LSU will get, Georgia will get there every once in a while.
I think you can stop. But you've named every team over the last 10 years.
You know, of the 28 slots, 7 years, 4 teams, 28 slots. How many do you think Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, and Ohio State have taken up?
As champions or just
no? How many of the 28 playoff slots?
Since the inception?
So 7 years.
Seven, is that all it's been?
That's all it's been. 7 years, four teams, 28 slots.
So I would say, I think it's 23.
20. LSU? Only 8 teams. Only 8 other teams have gotten in.
Who?
Notre Dame's gotten in a couple of times. LSU has gotten in.
You're saying to the championship.
Georgia has.
Well, you're saying to the Final Four.
Well, Lance, 4 times 7. Are you?
John, I can't think of. No, I'm super.
It's not that hard.
No. For me, it's super hard this morning.
4 teams every year, 7 slots.
I don't know why. This CPAP isn't working at all. I feel more tired than I ever. I mean, I didn't go to bed till 12, so maybe that's.
Maybe that's. Well, it was you were watching the game.
I was. I wanted to watch Nick Saban is so happy now.
Like, well, he cried. He was sad.
This has got to be the end of his career.
For
him to show this much emotion relative to Saban, he's got to be about to quit. Because
he would never show
this weakness.
Don't you wish he would?
I kind of like him around.
You do?
Yeah.
No, I'm sick of him. You're not tired
of him? I don't have family at LSU. I don't care.
No, we're sick. Everybody's sick of him. Everybody hates
him. I don't mind him.
I like having a Death Star. I like having a Death Star, having Nick Vader. He's showing you how to do it.
Jay Williams was trying to make that point, is that, you know, that's the... I mean, was it good? It was so long ago, in the 60s, when UCLA won the basketball title every year. But you had Goliath that you went after. So when you beat him, when Notre Dame beat him and ended their 72-game win streak, it was huge.
It's somebody for everyone to cheer against. But the problem is, it is an unfair advantage. Like, Nick is an incredible coach, just an incredible coach. But he's rough on his assistants. They depart at a record pace. He knows it. That's part of the deal. Mm-hmm. He's at a perfect spot in college football where he can coach as hard as he wants to, because it's a transaction where the players who are there know they have to put up with it, because he's going to make them better. He's going to make them money. They've got a chance to win a championship. And then when they leave after 3 years, if they wait 3 years, then that's fine. They can go somewhere else, and that's why a lot of these guys end up busting out in the pros, as they like kind of go crazy. Reuben Foster. I mean, you know, they keep it together for some of these guys are not great guys, but Nick somehow keeps them relatively in line. Now, there have been some issues over the years, but not recently there haven't been as many. I remember Cam Robinson had an issue with gun charges and things like that, but you think about it, Nick can't do that in the pros. This is why he can never be an NFL coach. He tried with the Dolphins. His style of coaching is just not going to play, especially with today's athlete, on the long term. Now, in the short term, he's proving that it can still work. But the players go there. No, number one, he doesn't really recruit a lot of soft, mentally soft players. Like, you know the deal. And there's already a culture in place, so you get on board early on because that's what's expected of you. This is really, to me, it's fascinating from a team-building standpoint because he's created a culture in a building where there's self-accountability because they want to win championships, get out of there, make their money, and, you know, it's that's the deal. That's Alabama. No other place is it like that. You can't tell me another place where, and by the way, he knows exactly what kind of players to recruit. He's got a type. I got a chance to talk to him like 3 years ago on the sideline, and I was talking about, might have been 4 years, sideline of a Senior Bowl. And I said, you know, it's almost like you cast, like you've got a very specific role for all these guys, and you cast them into a role. Like, I was saying this because A'shaun Robinson, Jerron Reed, Jonathan Allen, Quinnen Williams, they have a lot of similarities.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of similarities from the type of cornerbacks. And he goes, yeah, that makes it easier. We have, Lance, we have standards, all right? And with our standards, okay, you got to love to play football, number one. Number two, we want you to be an exceptional athlete. Number three, physically, you're going to look a certain way for every.
Yeah, they've changed with running backs. They've changed with wide receivers.
They have. He goes, that's
they've changed with quarterbacks.
Well, they kind of changed with running backs.
Well, Derrick Henry.
No. But Kenyon Drake was really the same kind of physical build. Kenyon Drake and who was the other one that they had? There's another Kenyon Drake. There's two running backs that were very similar who look a lot like Najee Harris, who look like Damian Harris.
T.J. Yeldon.
Who?
T.J. Yeldon.
The body types and the running style of Yeldon, Kenyon Drake, Najee Harris.
Ingram and Henry were different.
Ingram was a little squattier. Right. Trent Richardson and Ingram were the same. But
No, Trent Richardson and Henry were quite a little bit.
No, Henry's, no one's looked like
Henry's
Henry.
Angular.
Henry is the most, Henry's the biggest outlier in the history of pro football, probably. I don't think anyone looks like Mountain.
No.
By the way, just so you know, they also had Alvin Kamara on that roster. But
yeah,
he couldn't get snaps, so he went to Tennessee.
And he was negative, by the way, he was negative recruiting.
So
is why he got kicked out of there.
Since the inception in 14-15, Oregon and Florida State were in the first Final Four.
SEC.
Oregon and Florida State. Michigan State was in the second
one. I forgot the inception was Oregon-Florida State.
Oregon-Florida State. Washington was in the next year. Georgia was in the next year. Notre Dame, LSU, and then Notre Dame. There's basically one, except 1 year, two different teams. Otherwise, it's Clemson, Alabama, Oklahoma, and
Ohio State. And an LSU.
Basically, that's it.
And one other SEC team. If you throw that in there, now you've sucked up three more spots.
Well, yeah. I mean, Michigan State got there. Florida State got there. Oregon got there.
Wait.
Yeah.
Michigan State
got there in the second year.
Connor Cook.
Yeah, Connor Cook got there.
To the playoffs?
Yeah.
Yeah, they beat
Wait.
And Notre Dame's got there a couple
State,
of times.
Who'd they play?
They beat Iowa in a conference title game at the last second. Kids stretched the ball over the goal line, and then they got their ass kicked by Alabama in the Cotton Bowl.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
Golly. Yeah, what year was that?
2016.
16, okay.
15, 16. Well, it was the 15 season.
Yeah.
I swear on everything. Of course, I'm sitting here at a whole segment where I don't remember anything because I'm so tired. But I don't even remember Michigan State being in there.
Well, was it memorable?
That's right, because Mike D'Antoni, that's the time where he said something about, wasn't it, where he did Rich Homie
Mark
Kwan?
Mark D'Antonio, you mean?
Mark, yeah.
Or Mike D'Antoni.
Mark D'Antonio.
Mark D'Antoni.
Mike D'Antoni was like, hey, James Harden's not passing enough.
Mark D'Antonio said something about Rich Homie Kwan. You up on Rich Homie Kwan? Oh, you need to be up on Rich Homie Kwan. It was on the set. Have we ever played that, Dell? Where he's on the set of Fox or ESPN or whatever was covering it. I think it was Fox. And they ask him, like, what he's going to do now. And his whole thing, you know, I know he thought he was really making a play for the recruits, was that he was going to go into the locker room and go get into some Rich Homie Kwan, who was a Detroit rapper. And they were dancing to it in the locker room, and it just became a meme.
708 ESPN 97.5. So we've got us a national champion, and boy, oh boy, Devontae Smith. Holy crap. And I love the way they use him. Sark did a hell of a job. I mean, where they motion him in, and then he takes off on the outside, and the defensive back is trying to run with him across
so
the
this
field
is the thing,
or
Longhorn
in
fans,
and then out.
You're not getting Devontae Smith. You're probably not even getting Jalen Waddle, but Jalen Waddle was a Texas kid. I mean, he's from right here in Houston. The question is, Sark's play design was incredible.
It was.
I mean, it's been incredible the whole time. And before he even was going to be a Longhorn, I was like, Sark's play design, this is ridiculous, what he was doing last week. And then he was named Longhorn head coach. The question is going to be about getting the Jimmys and Joes. But, man, from a drawn it up standpoint,
it was great.
I'm just blown away by how good Alabama is. And he's had plays like he has one where he took Najee Harris out of the backfield, and then he ran like a little delayed in cut would turn into a huge play during the season. Like I'm seeing him draw up things, and I'm thinking, man, I don't see these plays. Like Sark is that good. The question is going to be, can he handle himself in Austin? And then is he a head coach? You know, we know he can run an offense. Are you a head coach? Because you and I have talked about it for a long time. Those are two very different
things. Yeah, I think he can handle. I think he's learned a lesson on that. Hopefully he's going to.
But does he have the personality to lead an entire team? Like, that's always a legit. Some people have. I almost feel like you have it or you don't.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes it's got to be the right situation. You got to have the right players. Whether or not, you know, we'll see.
You know
whether
the right
or not he's
going
to be able to recruit, because Ohio State's coming in here and getting players. Alabama's coming in here getting players. Everybody's coming in here getting players, and he's got to be able to put a fence around. But Jimbo's getting players too. I mean, Jimbo's done a really nice job.
Fence around what? Westlake?
He's got to put it. Well, at the very least, you should be able to get your own guys.
So, like, hey, you know, sometimes you get in a situation with a lot of good players, like in Texas.
Yeah, I mean. That's hopefully he can keep some really, really good players, and they'll want to play for him there. Hopefully that will be the case for
him. I mean, Tom Herman recruited well. Really did. Like, he had a really good class last year. He had one this year until they bailed on him. Tom Herman recruited well there, you know, on paper. It's just that all those five-star DBs, like Caden Stearns is like a third or fourth at best.
Out
of all those five stars.
Then you better start developing them, too.
Yeah, I think that's the big concern. And Sark is bringing over a minimum of three Alabama coaches with him, including the offensive line coach, which Kyle Flood, I can't say what a massive hiring that is. For Texas to finally get it, and you know, no disrespect to Herb Hand, but Flood is a technician. Like, Flood has a chance to take... You win on the offensive line. Jimbo's maroon goons. You want to know why they were they're going to be a top four team? They ran the piss out of the ball. And his offensive line played really well. Jimbo understands that. His last year at Florida State, he had next to last year, he had, when they won a national championship, he had four guys drafted off that offensive line. Now it's gone completely to hell since then for them, even with Jimbo there. But Texas, their inability to develop a strong offensive line is the number one problem with that entire university's football program over the last 15 years. Like, well, since Mac went, no, probably the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Because who are the draft picks that they crank out on the offensive line? Connor Williams?
Well, we'll see what Cosme does. We'll see where he goes and how he does. We'll see.
He ain't going first.
No, that's for sure. All right, we're taking a break. 7-3-7-8-0-3-7-7-6. We got to talk about Texans, and we got to talk about Jets. Let's talk some basketball on the other side here, because the Lakers are here.
Is today Easter be free?
No, it's not an Easter Be Free Day.
Like, you don't have anything new on them?
No, but we have coaching hires. We have coaching possibilities. We have interviews.
We have interviews, yeah.
Yeah, we got interviews, so we'll talk about that. Right now, though, we're talking about GiveMeTheVin.com. That's my man, John Clay Wolf, over at GiveMeTheVin.com. He's the best. It is not even close. I don't know what you think about the guy. He'll say anything, anytime, anywhere. It's really weird in that way, and it's uncomfortable sometimes. But that doesn't matter, because he gives you a lot of money. It's like so many things. If they're really, really good at it, you can overlook some of the other stuff. And guess what? When John Clay Wolf is paying you sometimes thousands more than your car is worth, this literally happens, where he gives you sometimes thousands more than your car is worth. You go, wow, I really don't care what he says. It really doesn't matter to me what he does or says. And so that's why John Clay Wolf is really, really awesome, because he will give you more money for your vehicle. If you're looking to sell that car, there's one place to go. Find out what it's worth at the top. And that's GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776, if you want to get in here. If you want to get in here, 713-780-3776. The Lakers in town. They just whooped up on the Rockets on Sunday. Back-to-back games in the same place. You don't see this, but that's something that's new and is happening here.
I like it.
I do, too. It's like baseball. You stay in the city, might as well get it done.
This year, it makes a lot of sense, but general, I think that's something that should be considered.
Well, yeah, why not?
Like for real considered, just pandemic.
Yeah, it would be nice if it was Sacramento all the time.
Well, players have to take load management because it's exhausting.
Well, yeah.
This is an exhausting career.
Well, no, but this is an exhausting season, though.
No.
You're playing basically every other day.
In general, I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know.
Where if you're in the same city and you don't have to travel, if it's like a baseball, it makes it, and then that way, if they duck on one game, they play on another one. If you just don't have tickets for the right LeBron game, oh well.
Yeah, well, right, and he'll play in the next one. No, this makes a lot of sense. A travel, you have to go to the city, to that city a couple of times, maybe even three or four times. You might as well play two games back to back. What's the difference? And it's worked out that in you have a blowout one game. I forget what was it, the Nets. Blew somebody out and then lost the next time that they play them. I mean, blew them. Or the Celtics won by 50 over somebody and then lost the next time they played them, whatever the case may be.
It was the Bucks in Miami.
The Bucks, okay. Whatever the case may be, this is look at the schedule, man. They've got the Lakers tonight. They get a day off. Then they've got San Antonio, which one day off, back to back. 2 days off, one day off, back to back. The most time off they have this season is in the first half is 2 days. 2 days in between games.
It's
crazy. This is a crazy schedule.
Not for Kyrie.
Well, that's a different story.
Kyrie is not.
So now we'll
save the Kyrie for later.
Okay, so no, but that this plays into it about the James Harden trade thing. The according to Kevin O'Connor of the Ringer, teams around the league believe that still it's the Nets and the 76ers that have the best shot at James Harden. That those are the teams that are most interested, or that there's been most talks with. Apparently now. The Rockets don't appear to be interested in trading James Harden to anybody.
No.
They're really, really pulled back because of an unrealistic asking price that they and you know what? I really can't blame Rafael Stone for not giving in and taking pennies on the dollar.
Well, you start there, and that way when they start negotiating with you, you back it down from the unreal asking
price. I really think that Bill O'Brien has ruined it for general managers here in that if you trade somebody, you had better get a great haul. Otherwise, you're going to get destroyed and call Bill O'Brien, and nobody wants that.
No, nobody
wants that on their resume. So apparently now, and not only are the Rockets really asking for too much, but it appears that Bradley Beal is a much more attractive option for teams if you're going to trade for a star.
A bazillion percent.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, James changes the whole dynamic of your team. James Harden really, and oh, by the way, you don't know that your team, chemistry-wise, basketball-wise, are really going to be able to adapt to James Harden and his style of play. Bradley Beal can play in more systems. He makes a great fit in any system. He's a really, really good top player. They're probably not asking for nearly as much as the Rockets are. He's 4 years younger. There are so many more things that Bradley Beal is more attractive for. So if I'm a team, I'm like, nah, I'm not going to. Are you kidding me, Rafael Stone? You're asking for crazy stuff. I'm not doing that.
The league is going to have, like I said, league's got to step in and get the Rockets a good package.
Yeah. Well, the league.
That's what's fair.
That's not what's happening.
Look how good he is.
I know,
but he's like 30-something points, you know, damn near 35 points a game. I don't
think the league is
Have they seen the PER?
Are you talking about James or Bradley Beal?
Have you seen James's PER over the last 5 years?
James currently is not at that 35 number you're talking about.
His four games. His PER right now is 125.
Have you seen his four-game stretch right here that he's playing?
A lot of assists. The least
output that he's had.
Okay, well, tell it to the people scoring. Tell it to the people he's setting up for scoring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How did that work out against the Lakers?
Yeah. He's coming off an ankle injury, guys.
How's that working against everybody?
Well, anyone not named the Kinks. How's that working out?
Oh, sorry.
This year.
Wow, sorry he has an ankle injury. I'll make sure that James is a billion percent healthy next time, all the time for you guys.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so it looks like, I mean, if truth be told, the thought is that the Rockets are going to hold on to James Harden. And they're going to have maybe the assist leader this year. Possibly the assist leader in James Harden. That would be sweet.
That would be great. Yeah. For, I don't know who. Who would that be great for?
$40 million to get 12 assists a game.
Congratulations.
Nice. That's going to be nice.
And go under 500. That's great.
Yeah. So if you've been wondering what's going on with James, actually, the answer is not much. Not much. Actually, James is really tired. And if you want to know the truth, you mentioned Kyrie Irving. The Nets.
That Kyrie is not part of any deal.
No, please. If I'm the Nets, for those of you who don't know, Kyrie Irving has left the organization, has not shown up since the siege on the Capitol building because it somehow has affected him mentally and he hasn't been able to come back to work.
There were people arrested by the FBI who have gotten back to work.
My daughter was in it. Was in the Capitol. She went back to work the next day.
Dude, Kyrie is the guy that the Celtics didn't want. They're like, oh, this guy made us worse. Cleveland's like, LeBron, he gets there. And we knew at some point.
He took the year off last year, got paid.
Then he opted out but wanted to go into the bubble and then tried to ruin the whole season for basketball players.
Yeah.
Basically for his selfish reasons, we found out the other players started going, Kyrie's pulling his crap, you know, because he wants to be in the bubble. But he wanted to be in there but not play. I just think Kyrie wants to watch basketball.
I think so. He just likes it a lot. He really liked last year's lifestyle where he got paid.
I swear on everything. I will, if you pay me to do the, if David Gow will pay me to not work the show but to listen to the show, I'll do it. That's not a problem.
Well, in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I will do that as well.
Not intently.
No.
You don't know that Kyrie's watching basketball?
No, I don't know.
He might be watching Bridgerton. I don't know.
It's a very popular show.
It is a popular show.
Don't tell me you're on that, too.
No, my wife and
it's entertaining. I watched it. It's fine.
It's okay.
It's fine. It's fine.
It's actually so...
It's like, isn't it a period piece where people can shoot lasers out of their eyes?
No. Yes. No, it's not, yes. It's not it a comic back to book
Elizabethan.
Yeah, I knew that. Yeah.
It's and there's lasers and there's spider webs.
It's not... No, it's not Pride and Prejudice versus Zombies. It's not that or...
Does it have any Marvel element to it?
Yes, there's spider webs.
No, there's. Yes.
There's a pig, spidey pig.
There isn't, but there should be. It'd be much better.
Now I know.
Yeah, there's not a monkey named Pongo that you can watch.
No, there's a monkey. I haven't gotten there. You ruined it. I'm not that far yet.
It's a different show, by the way. Season three of your favorite show, Umbrella Academy, announced it's the new cast. They're not recasting, but you know, at the end, you watched the end, right?
Yeah.
Where they met the Sparrow Academy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They've announced who's going to play those roles.
Oh,
so,
I got it.
So there you have. So more information
for
you.
We got Umbrella and a
Sparrow? When are the real shows coming out? What are the good shows, like the real ones?
A cane or an umbrella and a ladder? Why is it? How come there are birds?
I feel like we're feeling the effects of COVID now. Like, I'm sitting here, like, there's no Narcos, there's no Handmaids, there's no any of my shows.
Where's Ozark?
There's no Ozark. Well, they're filming Ozark.
No, but it's taking a long time.
Well, it's going to take a long time.
They had to delay production.
They did?
Yeah, because of COVID.
Maybe they got upset about the Capitol siege.
No, I don't think. They're not all Kyrie.
I don't know. What the hell, Kyrie? How in the world? Wait a minute. If I'm a net, if I'm one of his teammates, I'm like, really, dude?
Kevin is very.
You're making $40 a year. And you can't come because of the Capitol? What? Are you kidding me?
Kyrie is, to me, there's so many elements of Odell Beckham where, yes, he's talented, but teams don't get better with him.
Yeah, but Odell isn't this soft.
Dude, no, but he's about him. I'm just saying, teams don't get better with the talent. Like, you can't want Odell Beckham.
Browns, Kyrie won a title.
The Browns are where with LeBron.
Yeah, but that's okay. He hit
imagine
shots
that.
Too. No, he hit. He was good.
No, he was good. I didn't question the talent. Yeah. That was also much earlier in his career. What was it, 15 or 16? It was either 15 or 16. I mean, listen, Odell Beckham, the Browns are in a much better place since he's been out for the year.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, they had some ups and downs, but they don't have that negative energy. You just don't want negative me energy in a building. And more than ever,
$40 million, I want him to play I'm his teammate.
No, I know, but it's too late. Yeah. The Nets decided to bet on him, and they're screwed now. And they're screwed, and now they have to try to get rid of him. And you say whatever you want. He'll be talented, but this is not the last thing we're going to hear of Kyrie. And I'm not making light of being distressed by what happened at the Capitol building, but come on. Everybody knows there's two, maybe three different Americas. Everyone knows that they're, you know, that what happened, we all know. But then you go on, and even if it weighs heavily on your heart, it's not stopping you from working. I mean, so you're going to get what you pay for. Well, actually, you're not going to get what you pay for with Kyrie. I mean, Kyrie flat earth people. That wasn't any kind of an indicator. He was literally fighting with people for a year and then had to back off of it. Like, right.
Well, slow down. Dell is team flat earth.
I'm not actually.
No, I can't.
Dell's team Kyrie.
Before the show, you said you're team Kyrie, team flat earth.
You're team Kyrie?
Why do you guys just flat out lie?
No, this is what you told us.
I'm team spicy chicken.
In the meeting.
We don't have
meetings.
Before
the show.
We don't have meetings. I'm not team Kyrie or team flat earth. I'm team... You know I don't like flat stuff, so why would I be team flat earth?
That is true. Well, I'm not, team pancake.
No, I'm not.
Team pancake booty?
No.
728.
Team Peach is what I am.
728 ESPN.
Team Peach.
728 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Lamont says, I'm shocked you guys can even muster content out of that sorry-ass team. The Rockets blow. They kind of do. But here's the deal is we'll talk Texans. They blow too. We'll do that on the other side right here. Don't go anywhere. If you're looking for a great way to get your payroll to you, it's so good. It is so unbelievable. We just all got our preview of our checks and everything else. It's so unbelievable good. So the system is fantastic. These guys are on top of everything. They are so attentive to everything that you need. When we needed our PPP, when we needed our small business loans or whatever we got, they were on top of it. They helped. They guided us through it. They helped us do everything. The Affordable Care Act, every tax season, they are on top of everything. They're experts. They're going to take care of it. The system that they have, the taxes, all the taxes couldn't be easier. Ask Laura Beavers about this. She's our CFO, and she can take, honestly, if you want to call up to the station and ask for Laura, and she will tell you just exactly what they do and how good they are at it. If you're not completely satisfied with your payroll company and your HR company, well, then go with ours. And don't try to do HR yourself because you will mess it up and you could lose your business. This happens all the time. You're looking for a great company that is going to take care of your payroll, takes care of ours, takes care of everything. HRP.net. 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
It ended up being a blowout. It was an interesting game for about a quarter and a half. And then Alabama put the foot to the gas. Ohio State had no... Sean Wade's draft stock is officially dead after last night, which we kind of knew. There was no chance he'd be able to guard.
No.
He can't guard regular wide receivers. How's he going to check the best wide receiver in college football? In the first half of yesterday's game, the Heisman Trophy winner, Devontae Smith, 12 catches, 215 yards, and 3 touchdowns. In the first half, Mac Jones had over 300 yards passing in the first half. This just in, John, he went over 369.
342 in the first half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Devontae Smith went over 149 and a half yards.
In the first half.
No problem. No problem.
He left in the third quarter with the hand.
Broken finger.
Does that drop him? Where does that drop
so
him?
So this broken finger is going to, you don't know how the finger is going to heal. You don't know if there's permanent nerve damage. I would think this drops him sometime into the early third round.
Does he have a broken
fourth
finger?
Fifth pick overall.
In that neighborhood. Yeah, in that neighborhood. This is coincidental, but right around where the Texans should
coincidental.
Pick.
Right in the Texans?
Right around the Texans pick.
Are you misdiagnosing? Yeah,
have you ever broken a finger, Dell? No, you try to catch a football?
Does he even have a broken finger?
What were you saying, Dell?
Are you misdiagnosing his injury?
No, there could be nerve. No, what I'm telling you is you got to check.
It's
broken with.
No, it's not.
Through the TV.
I've been hurt more than any of us. I know what these injuries are.
It was said.
Broken finger, potential nerve damage. It's out there. No, ligament damage.
Yeah. It was said.
That's what's out there right now. What? I got an email forward.
And then he sits around in the offseason because he can't catch footballs. Who knows what he's going to do then?
And then becomes a psychological mind blow.
He might turn into Kyrie Irving.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, if you start watching too many YouTube videos, that's what happens.
Yep.
Just to clear it up, no indication that it's broken, dislocated. Nick
Saban. There's no indication it's not.
Well, Nick Saban just told everyone it's dislocated.
What did he say?
He says dislocated, we couldn't get it back in, so that's why we couldn't let him play. No.
Couldn't get it back in? Oh, my God.
Wow. Are you serious?
Hand. Yes.
What so the ligaments have been stretched.
I don't know that.
Where did Shaquem Griffin go?
Oh, he's okay. All right. No, he didn't.
He fell in a draft.
He didn't fall. He was where he got drafted.
Actually, he got drafted where he was supposed to be.
Higher maybe than he should have been. Who knows?
Yeah.
Because his brother was a
Seahawk. Personally, I don't think it's the same. I don't consider that the same at all, John.
Neither do I.
See, he would say that on NFL Network, on a taping, and they'd have to stop. Let's stop it there.
Well, I don't think you can say
the control room would... Cut it out. Out. Get out. Let's get out. Like we'd have those earpieces and they'd be saying, that's a bust. We're going to bust taping.
We're going to retape. All right. Ready. Let's get
Rhett Lewis, get in for John.
John, how come you didn't make mention of this when you were on Fox 26 this morning? Because I heard through the glass you talk about Devontae Smith and you didn't ever say he may have.
I didn't know then he was going to lose a hand.
Now,
with this new information.
You didn't say a Shaquem Griffin like. Drop because of his hand on with Nate Griffin.
According to our sources, Dell Olele, the guy's got a finger that won't go back in place.
That's right.
Well, that's what Nick Saban said.
Well,
yeah. Well,
if you and then potentially lose a hand,
I feel like that's an
how much do you want him with the third overall?
He's
pick,
not. Del? I want him because he's not losing a hand, and he's not JPP. It wasn't a. He got hit with the helmet, not a firecracker.
There's another one. I look at. He's not as good. Third round. Fourth pick overall.
You know the Texans wouldn't take him in a third round anyway.
Yeah, they'd probably pass.
Yeah.
They probably. Now, this is a new regime. This is a new. Wait, we can't go. Okay, that's another thing. We can't go by all the screw-ups from the past.
I can go with the screw-ups with the Patriots in the draft.
Now, Alabama's got those screw-ups. Bill O'Brien's going to be their offensive coordinator.
You have the same screw-ups. N'Keal Harry, Sony Michel. Those are the guys Casario wanted. And how's that working out?
Sony Michel is awesome.
No, he's not.
Well, it'd just be nice if he's on the field every once in a while. So the Texans interviewed Leslie Frazier, right? And David Culley. David Culley is 65 years old, never heard of him before, but he is the assistant to the head coach on the Ravens. Had you ever heard of David
Culley? Never
heard of him. Never heard of him. No.
I don't know a lot of assistant coaches.
Yeah, right. Right. So, but those are a couple of guys, and Leslie Frazier, obviously African American. I thought Leslie Frazier did a nice job, a lot of the time in Minnesota.
Yeah,
yeah,
he was all right.
He was good. Yeah,
yeah, he was all right.
Kind
of Caldwellish.
Yeah,
the record is I think a little better.
More success than
Caldwell, I actually shocked me because when Dell said the record, I was like, that's
really good.
That's O'Brien-ish.
Except without all the division championships.
Yeah. So
heavy stress on championships.
You know, Leslie Frazier got him to 10-6 one year, second in the NFC North. he was 3-13 his first year, but they weren't a good football team. They were the worst team in the NFC. Now, he took over midseason, was 3-3, and then went 3-13, then 10-6, and then 5-10, and he was fired. 21-32 overall. But he did have that nice he lost to Green Bay. It got him to the playoffs. After a 3-13 year to go to the playoffs the next year, that's a nice job. They did have some talent. He's been around forever. I don't know Deshaun would be amenable to him. He's a defensive coach, which would probably mean that Tim Kelly might stay around, which Deshaun might be amenable to.
Let me make a quick check here on my computer. Tim Kelly, represented by Bob Lamont. Yeah. No, yeah, this actually makes some sense.
Yeah. Is Leslie Frazier a Bob Lamont guy?
Let me check.
Is David Culley?
David Culley is?
No, I'm asking.
Oh.
David Culley, 65 years old.
65 years old.
Member of Team Lightskin. So,
he is. It didn't look like that from a picture.
Yeah, he looked really light skinned. Like white.
No, it's not white.
I was about to say, let there be no doubt. Yeah, the next head coach is black.
Yeah, probably.
Brian Daboll just lost out on this job. He's like, I thought we had a deal, Jack.
Well, I don't know.
It's beyond my control.
They're gonna interview a bunch and then go, Brian Daboll did a really nice job, Deshaun.
No, people are dropping
rid of Josh Allen. Look at Josh Allen.
You won't even see. I don't know that you'll see a white candidate interviewed. You know, my whole thing is, I don't care if it's a black GM, white GM. I don't care if we have black head coach, black GM. I don't care. As long as I just want guys who know what. I just want competent people who know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. You know, I really wished Riddick to me was a problem because he hasn't been in football 7 years and was they got rid of him from two different spots. Lewis, to me, was not a legit. For me personally, I didn't think he was a legit candidate. I thought the candidate was, I thought Omar Khan was a candidate. I know Zoe could be a candidate. I know there's some, Ryan Poles is my guy, who I think super, super highly of, African-American candidate. He interviewed with Carolina and Matt Rhule. Texans didn't even know about him. Like, Corn Ferry doesn't even know about him. That's a little bit embarrassing to me that this group doesn't know about. Like Matt Rhule knows about guys, but Corn Ferry doesn't. They're like, give us your $500,000. Thank you. Here's our list. We won't be needing this. Jack's got it.
Jack's got this.
Jack, what do you think? Just that's, kidding. That's not how Cal talks.
No.
Jack, what's up, buddy?
No. Jack, what do you think?
Jack, who is your selection?
We can't be doing.
Who was your selection?
We did a lot of this yesterday.
I know.
Think we should dig in on the owner again?
No, I don't.
Knowledge is power. Listen.
Knowledge is power.
I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say that this is how Kyle talks.
Would you like to play some stuff from
that? You're getting creepier now.
I remember whenever.
Like Buffalo Bill. Yeah.
I remember whenever you did the ice bucket challenge with me, Brian T. Smith.
You're a great funny fat person.
Look what you started.
By the way, Rick Smith is a client.
Well,
Bob Lamont
makes sense. He was a Texan.
Chris Ballard is.
What about Rick Smith being head coach?
Chris Ballard is. Tom Telesco, Brett Veach is. Chris Polian is. I'm trying to see where's the coaches. I need head coach. Okay, coordinators. Let's see who might be our next anything. Brian Daboll, we already know about. Leslie Frazier.
Ding,
Bob
ding,
Lamont.
Ding, ding, ding.
Bob Lamont client.
Leslie checks every box now.
Frazier. Yes.
He checks every
box. Box checked. Thank you. Nope. And who else? Gunther Gunningham? Gully
David
Culley?
Culley.
All right. Let's
assistant coaches.
Oh, I can't wait.
Look at assistant coaches. David Culley.
Please let this be. No, I don't see him.
What? Well, he's got no
he's
shot.
A nobody.
Plus, he's light-skinned.
That's not going to prohibit him from getting hired.
I had Dell. You'll to our light skin
listeners
colorism discussion from last week. So there's a scout I talked to from time to time, and we were talking about Nick Saban or something. We were talking about an Alabama player, and he goes, and he and I will have like honest discussions about racial stuff, and like he can trust that he can talk to me about this stuff. He didn't keep it a secret. He's like, man, he said Nick Saban could, his whole point was Nick Saban's act could never work. And he was talking about Bill O'Brien, too. We were talking about how they would fit together. And he goes, In the pros, it's a little weird. It's a little different. He goes, you can't just talk to guys in the South any kind of way. He said, black guys in the South are different than black guys in the North. And so I'm just listening to him talk, and he goes, you can't just be talking. I said, well, Alabama seems to be a little bit different. He goes, well, yeah, Bama, because they know the deal, and they're only going to be there a certain amount of time, and they know the deal. He goes, there's not a lot of other places like that. He goes, what about, he said, look at Tom Herman. His players start turning on him. He goes, black guys in the South don't like being talked to any old kind of way by a white coach. And he goes, black guys in the North, soft. He goes, light-skinned guys who are really soft. I'm like, what? He just threw it out there. Players in the North are a bunch of light-skinned guys who are really soft. They just get in line with whatever. I'm like, I feel like there's some personal therapy session sounds going like on right now. And then I just realized, I remember what Dale told me.
Sounds like, what did I tell you?
Black on almost black violence.
He just said team light-skinned. He said he just didn't take them seriously.
I mean,
he's like, he didn't take the players seriously. And it's brought this up, too. What is Deshaun considered?
He's not team light-skinned.
No.
Right? He's not? I wouldn't think so.
No. That's part of the deal with Steph Curry.
Well,
yeah.
But Steph is an amazing player.
Yeah, but.
The people.
It must have killed people.
People didn't like
Steph
it.
And that the Clay. Splash Brothers with that light.
Yeah, that both of them are like.
It must have killed people. Yeah, and then you brought Draymond to just kind
of,
you know.
I'm telling you, part of the issue that people had, I didn't have the issue with them. They're great players. But part of the issue people had with them, not everyone, but some people had with them, like, them light-skinned dudes, man. Doing what they're doing.
754.
Isn't that a problem, though? That's not how we should be.
We shouldn't be, no.
On the other side, 713-780-3776.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here. 746, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Come on, this is a dumb question. How should this season's national title be remembered? That Alabama kicked everybody's ass. Is there any... I mean, honestly, we played a football season. SI had an article that, but was it worth it? Yeah, it was worth it. Kids want to play. They were out there playing football. That's what they want to do. You know what? They had to go through all these protocols. They had to, in a lot of instances, some of them didn't. They were like, oh, we'll party. I'm partying anyway. I ain't listening to no protocols. But, yeah, they did that. And you know what? Those are the ones they had to go through practices every day. They're the ones that had to go out and play football. And they want to play football. This is what kids want to do. When I was in college, I wanted to play football. I played at Division III because I wanted to play. So I didn't have a television set in my locker with a recliner and a barber. I didn't have any of that. You know what? I just wanted to play football. So I played football. And you know what these kids want to do? Even though they have a barber in their locker room and a TV set and their own Wi-Fi and their own laptops.
Kevin, someone had the thing where you could put your shoes and it was a vacuum.
Clean them?
It would stink out. No, it'd suck out the stink.
Oh, well, that's
the locker room didn't stink.
You see, that's and these kids and you know what they wanted to do? They wanted to play. They want to play. So guess what? Now how will this national championship be remembered? As Alabama kicked everybody's ass. That's how it was.
But you could tell, like, this is not a team of stars. That even their star is the most humble kid that you'll ever see. I was told that it is impossible for him to fail off the field.
Devontae, yeah.
Yeah, and the person from the Alabama program who told me this said, oh, trust me, a lot of our guys could fail off the field over the years. He said, this one, it's impossible. The work ethic, the love of the game, the personal character, the family, the everything. He said, Devontae is just an amazing person. And he said he will not fail off the field. He said the only thing you'd be worried about is, you know, the durability with the size. And he's the humble, quiet superstar they had. It's a weird year where Christian Barrymore, I guess, is he and Pat Surtain are the big name. Like, they don't have the big time safety. They don't have the big time linebacker.
Collins
they don't have the big time edge rusher. And frankly, they don't have the big time interior defensive lineman, who everyone's talking about as a top five player. Like, they just don't. And yet, you could tell that this was Nick's favorite team of all time. I knew it was going to be. You just knew it because he had no opt-outs, like hardly any opt-outs at all. A bunch of the guys came back that I didn't expect. Or, like, Najee came back. Alex Leatherwood came back. You have guys who are kind of scrubby on other teams that will bail. Alabama guys, Raekwon Davis, the year before, they come back and keep playing because they want to win a championship. But they're super talented, and Nick, like, the Nick gets them to buy into team, and so they had the best team, they had the best players, but they had the best coaching, they had the best scheming, and then they get a bunch of guys who really want to play for each other, and it's cool to watch. Yep. Like, I really enjoyed watching this Alabama team.
They're really
Mac Jones is just kind of an everyman. Is that Mac Jones?
Look at that body.
Copying Joe Burrow.
No, that looks like Tom Brady's body, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's Mac Jones, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mac Jones is the... I'd kill for that body right now.
Well,
Mac Jones.
But you're not a college national championship quarterback. No, dude has got like Tom Brady body. He has got no definition. He's got a gut on him a little
look
bit.
At him.
There's
look at
no
him.
Arm definition.
John, he is.
He's Brady-esque.
That's who he... He's not
You know
a,
what? I'm voting... I'm picking this guy. I want him as my quarterback.
Pick him. It's always fun for
he's
me
He's actually
to...
pretty accurate, though.
No, he's very accurate.
He throws a great downfield ball.
Yeah, he does. He does. He's very accurate. So does Kyle Trask. But
I'm going to take Mac Jones over Kyle Trask.
I put Trask over Mac Jones in my ratings. I'm going to move him up from a 6'1 to a 6'2, though, Mac Jones, because I think he has to be in the right system. But in the right system, did you see any of the panic I've talked about with him where he's running and he'll just – like, he's not a real courageous type of...
With
like
that
Joe
body,
Burrow,
would you be?
Joe Burrow is not a... Joe Burrow didn't have a great... But Joe's been working on it, but he was courageous as a runner.
Oh, yeah, Joe was real.
He was very courageous. This guy's not a courageous runner, but...
Well...
I enjoyed watching... As a college football fan, I enjoy watching greatness. I enjoy the Nick Saban element. My dad had a chance to work with Nick and ended up turning him down when he was at... LSU, and Nick took it personal. He told my brother when he went in to recruit down at Bay City, he goes, tell your dad that I said you're welcome for getting him a raise at Cincinnati. Because Cincinnati gave him a raise. My dad said, can you make it a little more so I have a viable reason to say no? And so, you know, basically, because it's hard coaching for Nick. Nick is a tyrant.
Yeah.
But it's worked.
Yeah, but he is. It's legendary. And Les Miles was much the same. You were there for the difference between Les. When Les took over after Nick, you would work all day under Nick, and you would get stuff done. You would leave an eight-hour meeting with Les Miles and not know what the hell happened.
But, you know, Nick is the idea. To me, this is what's fascinating. Dell, you can weigh in, too, since you're big into the college football scene. I find this fascinating because Nick is an example of – this is what greatness can look like. And greatness, it's not fun. Greatness is flawed. I think building greatness in many cases, when we think about the Roger Clemens, Michael Jordan, a lot of guys that we want to get to, or even coaches, there's flaws that go in there. There's almost like you almost have to have part of your personality has to be a little bit dead inside, especially as a coach, where you're so focused on winning, you don't really care about personal relationships quite as much. Like with coaches, I wouldn't want to have a bad relationship with somebody on the staff. Nick doesn't care. It's on to the next one. This is the way it has to be for me to get what I want. And then I don't think he even enjoys a lot of his championships. In the past, there have been years where he's like recruiting that day he's on the phone and they say he's flying and he didn't even
or
enjoy
he's
it.
In the locker room he's afterwards, to. He's probably, you know what? He probably called his main recruits in from the locker room after the game while they're all celebrating going, do you see it? Did you see it?
But this is the most enjoyment I think I've ever seen him have. I've seen him smile at least three different times. I've seen him smile on sidelines. But I think when we talk about great coaches, there's other ways to do it. But I think Nick's way of doing things, there is a price to be paid for having to building a dynasty, in that there's certain inevitable flaws that are going to have to come forward. And it's probably, I know it's family time, it's interpersonal relationships. And part of it is going to be your own happiness. You have to put your happiness aside because you're striving for this greatness, and it consumes you. And it's not right. Like, it's kind of, it's a little bit probably not good for you.
No. I mean, have some fun. Go play golf or poker or something. Get drunk. Just do something.
Have you noticed that everything defaults to golf or poker or get drunk? It's never take up gardening.
Go hiking.
It's never hiking.
Why would you want to hike?
Play some poker,
unless you're in the mountains and climbing to get to some Coors Lights.
You go hiking all the time with Coors Lights mountains.
You're damn right.
Those blue mountains.
They are blue. Damn right. My bonds are blue.
To answer your question,
are going to be blue today at the Rockets game.
I have noticed that John defaults to drinking or poker or golf. Those are his three things.
Do you think college coach could ever be as good anymore without some of the Nick Saban stuff?
What do you mean? You think anyone could?
I don't know. I just think that you have to be a little, I guess Urban supposedly wasn't the easiest guy to work for all the time. He was a little bit of a tough coach. Urban was known as a tough coach behind the scenes. I don't think you can be soft and be, I just think the players today are a little tougher to handle and deal with, and you have to say this is the way it's going to be. But I don't think Urban went through the coaches.
I think you hit on it a little bit earlier. Is the kind of kid that Nick gets, that is the best, that wants to be the best, that will go to and you know what, will compete at Alabama just to get on the field first of all, and then secondly to compete. Once you get on the field, I mean now you're competing. If you can get on the field at Alabama, you're the best of the best. That's all there is to it.
Saban is at a point in his career and his tenure at Alabama where they can pick and choose between five stars. Well, that five star doesn't particularly fit our culture. Let's go get that guy because there's not a lot of coaching up as far as personality. He fits the culture. We don't have to mold him. He's a guy who fits. That's where he's at. I won't say it's easy because you got to keep the pedal to the metal, but these are the guys he takes. He doesn't have to take characterists at five stars. He can go, oh, you got kicked out of your school for fighting, I don't have to deal with you. I'll just pick up the next five star who's a solid character and I don't have to worry about.
Right.
That's where he has, it's a machine.
Well.
And now, you know.
Yeah, but before we take a quick break real quick, I'll do it on the other side. They also have technology. Alabama, from an analytics standpoint, they also can hire all these former head coaches as analysts. Their analysts are great football minds. They have a technology. I will tell you about a technology that they had that I just found out about that is the reason, I'm firmly believed, is the reason that Devontae Smith has elevated his game the way it has.
All right, 758 ESPN 97.5. That's on the other side right here. Don't you go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.